You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Can't stand the heat? Well, that doesn't mean you have to get out of the kitchen. Melissa Clark is here to share some ideas and recipes for making easy, delicious summer meals without turning on the oven and raising the temperature of your already hot kitchen. Ms. Clark writes the New York Times Dining Section column, A Good Appetite. She's the author of 32 cookbooks and counting. The latest, Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes That You Can't Wait to Make, is published by Hyperion. I'm very pleased to welcome you back to our show.
It's great to be
and
here.
And we invite our listeners also to join in. If you have any questions about what to make this summer or any ideas to share, you can give us a call at 212-433-9692, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. So the most obvious thing, of course, is salads.
Salads, but, yes.
We salads as them. A whole meal?
Well, you could. I mean, you have to build your meal around a salad. A salad by itself isn't going to be satisfying. Even if you put, say, I have a recipe on your website right now that has shredded rotisserie chicken that you would buy, so you don't have to heat up your house to cook it. And even if you have it, it's still not enough of a meal unless you have something, a little something else. Like, I love to have crusty bread and butter and cheese with my salad. And that, to me, is the perfect summer meal. Or a little bit of charcuterie if you want to get, say, a pate or some sliced sausage or prosciutto. That rounds out a meal. And it also feels a little bit decadent. You know, when you're eating a salad, you think, oh, God, you know, this is diet food. This is not a meal. But if you have a treat like good prosciutto or, my favorite thing, fresh mozzarella or a burrata, that makes it seem satisfying and luscious. And then the greens or whatever you're putting in your salad is a great backdrop to that.
Unfortunately, some of the things I like to do to gussy up a salad involve roasting, like roasting beets.
Yes, love that.
Beets are in season,
but that means
turning on the oven again.
Well, I have a little trick for you. Do you have a toaster oven?
Mm-hmm.
Just take your beets, wrap them up in foil, slick them with oil before you put the foil on, and put them in your toaster oven, and you won't heat up your whole house. It works great.
Or if you grill. Some people have space to grill.
Yes, if you have a grill. Well, if you have a grill, then I feel like you have a whole...
We shouldn't even be
discussing. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other thing. Then you're cheating. But if you want, if you really... I mean, to me, summer cooking is... The reason I want to cook very lightly in the summer is I don't want to heat up my house. I don't want to go out in the heat necessarily. I mean, sometimes I do, but sometimes on these sticky days, I don't even want to go and grill. I want to stay in the air conditioning. I don't want to heat up the kitchen. And that's where things like my toaster oven come in really handy. I've got another good trick for you.
Wait, I just want to say that last night I did grill.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately, people were coming over at 7 o'clock.
Oh, no.
Guess what happened at 7 o'clock?
We had that rainstorm. Oh, my goodness. So what'd you do?
The grilling was complete 2 seconds before the rains came down. It was just
you were
lucky
very
timing.
Lucky. Okay, there were obviously somebody was watching you and making sure that your steaks were okay. But here's a good trick: do you have an electric kettle?
I don't,
because that is one of those brilliant things that doesn't. It will not heat up your kitchen, and if you can just boil some water, and of course you can do it in a regular kettle, it won't make the kitchen that hot to just boil some water. Couscous is fabulous in a salad, and you don't have to cook it. You just take your couscous. I like to use whole wheat couscous. I actually think it has a nuttier flavor. And I just pour the boiling water on top. I like to do a ratio of 1:1 with a little bit of olive oil, and I put the salt in, a good pinch of salt, in with the boiling water. It helps it dissolve. You put that all together. You put a kitchen towel on top of the bowl, and you just let it sit. 10 minutes later, it's perfect. You have not cooked a thing. It's the great cheater's meal. And then I add all my vegetables to that. I add my tomatoes and my cucumbers, tons of fresh herbs, and it makes a very satisfying dinner.
What are some of the greens that we can use other than lettuce?
Well, you know, right now we are getting all the wonderful baby greens. So we have things like kale and mustard green are just they're
kind of tough.
They're tough, but the baby ones are nice and tender. And if the greens are a little bit tough, just slice them up thinly. Kale salads. I mean, you must have had a million kale salads, right? Which I love. But the secret to a good kale salad is cutting the kale into thin little strips and then letting it marinate in the dressing for 10 or 15 minutes so it softens a little bit. Same thing. You can do that with your mustard greens. I love it with some. That people don't use enough raw Swiss chard, especially the smaller Swiss chard. It has a great, it has almost like a beet flavor, as a matter of fact, like a minerally, little bit sweet.
It's a little chewy.
That's why you have to slice
Swiss chard last night.
You have to slice it thin. Did you cook it?
Cooked it forever.
Oh, well.
With garlic and it was good. But that recipe that you mentioned, Vietnamese cabbage salad with shredded chicken, peanuts, and mint, the one we put on our site. You call for Napa cabbage.
Yes.
Does it have to be Napa cabbage?
No, you can use any kind of cabbage.
In fact, is it Sonoma cabbage?
If there was, I bet Napa and Sonoma would be arguing over whose was better. That's funny. I never thought of that before. So, no, actually, I know that you belong to a CSA. I belong to a CSA. I got 4 weeks in a row of cabbage, just plain green cabbage, in the middle of June. And I'm thinking, really? I mean, I love cabbage, but June cabbage. I made this salad so many times, and it was delicious with regular old just green cabbage. I like Napa cabbage a little bit better just because the texture is more interesting. It has a little, it has a sort of crinkly texture on the tongue. But in terms of flavor, you can use either one. You could use red cabbage, a mixture of red and green. That makes it really pretty.
Spicy things are supposed to make you cooler because they make you sweat.
Yes.
And in people in hot climes tend to eat spicier food.
Does that work for you? I don't know if it really works. I mean, I love
spicy food.
I know
that there are cultures where people start off with pickles.
Right.
Start every meal with pickle because, well, what happens is that if you're eating in the heat, you really don't feel like eating very much. So you got to do something to get your body going.
Yes. Yes, and that's another thing I was going to bring up about summer eating is little bites of salty things. When you're eating a big salad or you're eating just something like bread and cheese, you need something to awake your palate. You need something really intense. So pickles are perfect. I love olives. Personally, I think just to put out a big tray of beautiful olives, if you can marinate them yourself, and when I say marinate, all I mean is crush up a garlic clove, some excellent olive oil, and some rosemary, and let it sit for half an hour. It makes a huge difference on just even the olives that you buy in the jar.
But I always wondered why Scandinavians didn't eat spicy food, and then I realized it's because they don't need the spice.
They don't need the spice. Well, then you bring them here, and they seem to love it. But spicy foods, I never get the cooling effect, but I just love the spicy flavor. I think spicy food is great all year long. I love it in the summer because I also love, I think, spicy food and vegetables. And we all tend to eat a lot of vegetables in the summer because that's what's available. We can buy them. They're plentiful. And if you add chili to pretty much anything, it's going to taste better, I think.
My guest is Melissa Clark, who writes the Good Appetite column for the New York Times dining section every Wednesday. She's also the author of 32 cookbooks. We're talking about cooking in the summertime, or at least eating in the summertime without heating up the kitchen. Well, I've been getting a lot of turnips in my CSA bag this summer. And how can I prepare them without roasting or cooking them for a long time?
You know, are you getting the little white turnips, the tender ones? Because in summer, the turnips tend to be a little bit sweeter, smaller than the ones we get later in the season. The keeping turnips for in the winter are sort of big and fat, and you really, they're okay. They're good raw, but and I like them raw, actually. I personally really like them raw, but a lot of people think you have to cook them. In the summer, turnips are fantastic raw because they're just so sweet and juicy. So you can slice them up very thinly and put them in a salad. But you know, what I've been doing is I've been serving them just like radishes. You clean them, you have them, you dip them in sweet butter, and you put some flaky sea salt on top. They are delicious that way. The butter just works so well with that mustardy bite.
You said that chili makes everything taste better. Mm. Doesn't sea salt make everything taste better?
Yes, sea salt. Good sea salt. You know, for your summer kitchen, when you're thinking about what do I need to cook this summer, or say that you're going to be renting a house or you're going to be visiting someone and you're thinking, what are the three things I need to bring with me to cook for the whole weekend? Lemons, good olive oil, and good sea salt. And you can pretty much have a feast.
But sea salt is expensive. You just use it sparingly.
Yeah. You don't want to cook with sea salt. What you want to do, well, there's inexpensive sea salt and then there's fancy sea salt. The fancy sea salt is called, Fleur de Sel is a type of fancy sea salt. There's Malden. I actually carry it around with me because I'm crazy, but I have a little container in my bag at all times because it's
right
just
now?
Good. Yes, I do. You want to see it? You never know when you're going to need a little bit of sea salt just to make the dish that's good even better.
I've always wondered why they have to be different colors. Does that really affect the taste?
Sometimes, because the colors often have minerals in them. So pink salt has, I forget what makes it pink. And any of you listeners, if you know, please call us and tell us what makes it pink. Black salt, again, has a different, I think black salt, maybe it has sulfur, but they have the little itty bit, it's very small amounts of minerals that add a lot of flavor. In fact, gray salt, sel gris, which you get from France, it tastes like the ocean. It is the most beautiful salt. It is more flavorful than a fleur de sel. I love this big chunky salt. It also has a moist texture. a tomato salad. So what we do, you eat a lot of tomato salads in the summer. I mean, how can you not? Take your tomatoes, slice them, the big ones slice thickly, the little round ones slice into wedges, and you mix the different textures together and the different colors. You get heirloom on a plate. You add this, any kind of chunky sea salt. And some bites of tomato don't have salt, and they're just pure sweetness. Some bites do have salt. And to have that, if you used fine salt, it would be evenly salted, and it would be fine. But what's wonderful about the different textures of salt is how every bite tastes different.
If you do know about sea salt, or you want to talk about any of the things we're discussing, our number here is 212-433-9692, or you can write us, leave a little message or a question on our show page at WNYC.org. So we've taken care of turnips. We've taken care of sea salt. What's your take on the recent restaurant trend of using lavender and other flowers in food?
Something we eat with our eyes first. We all know that. So if something is beautiful, if you see it presented with little flowers, I personally think it's stunning, and I always want to eat more of it. And they add fragrance. Lavender is an intense flavor, so you use it very sparingly. But you know what people don't use enough is the little flowers on their basil, the little flowers on their chives. You know, a lot of us have window boxes. I know I do. I have a little deck where I grow different kinds of basil. I grow oregano, has flowers. Take those flowers off and save them. They taste like the essence of the herb, and they're beautiful. So
I thought that was a sign that the plant was bolting.
It is. So you want to take them off. So when you start to see the little buds, you pick that off immediately, because otherwise your basil will it'll stop growing. So you want to take it off, but don't throw it out. Use it as a garnish. I made a tomato salad yesterday where I had Thai basil, and the flowers are purple, and I used a little fish sauce on the salad, and I put cucumbers in it, and those Thai basil leaves and the Thai basil flowers, and it was stunning, simple, made the best lunch with a piece of cheese and a big slice of crusty bread.
Well, how did you come up with that? Was that something that you'd seen somebody else do, or were you just imagining the mixture of the tastes?
I mean, I'm sure I've seen it before. I feel like
Ed Bear says
everything has been done. I know I can't remember where I've seen it, but fish sauce. Okay, let's talk about salty flavors. Fish sauce, if you just want to use salt, is an incredibly salty flavor that has a layer of umami. It has a complexity. It has a depth of flavor, a little funkiness. It is great on salads. It is great with tomatoes. And people don't necessarily think to put it on there. So I would say if you want to do something different, try an Asian-inspired tomato salad using maybe if you have Thai basil or chives or cilantro, and then a little fish sauce.
And do you continue the salad theme with desserts? Berry salad?
No, ice cream. You don't have to cook to make ice cream. Ice cream is the perfect summer dessert. Berries are great. I use berries in my salad. Have you ever had salad with green strawberries? This is a thing I've seen in restaurants around New York where I just had pickled green strawberries.
Pickled
green strawberries, and it was absolutely delicious. Oh, actually, it was in Los Angeles, but they're doing it in New York too. But I take strawberries that maybe are a little underripe. You know the strawberries that have the white on the ends, and you're thinking, this isn't going to be so tasty. It's great in a salad. Slice it up, salt it, a little balsamic vinegar. It's delicious. Same thing with blueberries, are great in salads, especially if you use something crunchy with them because they're so juicy. So almonds, blueberries, and say very thinly sliced summer squash is a great salad.
We're going to take some calls from our listeners. By the way, you also can write us at WNYC.org. Go to our show page. But we're going to take a little break right now.
Okay, well,
and you're going to show
calls.
Me your
keep
salt.
Your calls. I'm going to show you my salt.
And my guest is Melissa Clark, whose column, A Good Appetite, appears every Wednesday in the New York Times dining section. She's the author of 32 cookbooks. Working on another one?
I am working on another one right now.
Well, the most recent one from Hyperion is Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes. You can't wait to make any of them the sorts of things we're talking about?
Yeah, in fact, two of them on the website are from my cookbook. There is the salad, the cabbage salad we were talking about, and a fantastic cantaloupe soup that you make in the blender. And you and I have to talk about cold soups when we get back, because that's a whole other world.
We'll be back right after this. I'm back with Melissa Clark of the New York Times and of 32 cookbooks and counting. And we're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Let's go to some of those calls. We begin with, I don't have a name here, but it says that you're calling from North America, so I guess you're a local. Hi.
I guess that's me.
Yeah.
Oh, hi. How are you, Brian?
I'm Leonard.
I'm sorry, Leonard.
It's okay.
I clearly listened to you guys all day. So in terms of your question about the sea salt, a friend of mine just started a sea salt company called Whole Salt, and he was explaining to me that the color actually comes from residue. They harvest the salt in clay pots, and some of the clay, which does have minerals, and it is true that there's minerals in the salt, but the color is actually a residue from the clay pots in which the salt is harvested.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah. The other thing that we didn't mention in terms of summer cooking, blending.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Thank you for bringing that up.
I've been making juices all summer, delicious juices, watermelons, strawberries, mixed together different fruits, and you could, either emulsify it and make ice creams out of it, or you can just blend it and have delicious drinks and shakes and all sorts of stuff.
Smoothies. For example.
Smoothies, yeah. Exactly. And people love it. You could also, I have a BlendTec, which allows you to even make soups, both hot and cold soups, depending on, the speed and how much it heats up the vegetables.
There are a number of utensils like that. There's a Vitamix as well.
Uh-huh. And an immersion blender you can use depending on what you're mixing.
And they can make hot and cold?
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up, because I want to talk about cold soups, especially cold to me. Summer eating, a cold soup is something I don't see a lot of them, and they're so refreshing and they're so good and they're so filling. And the trick to making a good summer soup isn't necessarily the soup, which is, not that hard to make. You just want to make sure you add enough salt so that it's savory and it doesn't feel like a smoothie, is the garnish. So if you want to make, say, a gazpacho, and you put in your tomatoes and your peppers and your onion and your lots of good olive oil, you need to have something, a textural contrast. And I really believe this is the key to all cold soups, a textural contrast. So what I like to do, chopped almonds or toasted croutons is very traditional for a gazpacho. On the website, I've got a cantaloupe soup, which uses jalapeno and yogurt. And then what I do is I take good sea salt and I crush it up with a little bit of toasted cumin seed. And I put that on top, and that gives a little bit of just a slight textural contrast. And also it makes the flavors pop. So, and don't forget about cucumber soups, right? Cucumber soups with garlic and yogurt and basil or dill. Absolutely wonderful.
A listener, Caroline in Brooklyn, writes, at a recent barbecue, a friend made fresh blueberry salsa as a condiment for the grilled pork chops. Forget the chops, she writes. The salsa was so fresh and bursting with flavor. It was delicious all by its lonesome. Blueberries, fresh tomatoes, jalapeno, lime juice, a little salt. There may have been a few other ingredients, but not too many.
That sounds fantastic. I would love that. I agree with that, although I would probably like the pork with it too, but maybe steak. But yeah, it's another great use for fruit is in salsas. Mango salsa, peach salsa, fantastic. The trick to making a good salsa is balancing the sweetness of the fruit with lime juice or lemon juice, some kind of something acidic. And then you need your good salt, you need your chili. And cilantro is very traditional, but think of other herbs as well for salsas. Think of chives. Unusual, but that oniony flavor is really nice in a salsa.
Paul from Putnam County, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
We're okay. What do you want to talk about?
The fourth secret ingredient, aside from lemon, really good sea salt, which I absolutely agree with. We've been Malden fans for years. And olive oil is the telecherry peppercorns.
Absolutely right.
That you can make anything with that, and it just has this fruity, nutty flavor. In fact, it's so distinctive. Even when you go to restaurants, you can kind of tell once you've grown accustomed to the taste. It is an absolutely essential ingredient.
I agree with that. And the good thing about pepper is that, we were talking about chilies and adding heat through chilies. Black peppercorns have plenty of heat. I think we just don't use enough of them. And what's great about them is, like you said, they also have other flavors. They have the fruitiness. They can have a nutty flavor. And I will sometimes use as much as a teaspoon of pepper in something. I'll just keep grinding until my arms just are, wet noodles. And I'll use that. And it just, people say, oh my God, what did you season this with? Salt and pepper. So thank you for mentioning that. You're absolutely right.
Hal from Brooklyn asks about whether we should use the microwave.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It won't heat up the kitchen.
It doesn't heat up the kitchen. If you I'm really bad at the microwave. I have poor microwave skills. I always botch things. But if you have good microwave skills and you know how to use it, absolutely. It's another, also, if you don't have an electric kettle, it's another great way to boil water. It is great for steaming vegetables. I know people love to steam vegetables in the microwave.
That's what I do with broccoli.
Exactly.
Put some water, some salt, a little butter, and then you cook it for 3 minutes, and the broccoli's perfect.
Yeah. So I would say take advantage. You could probably do beets in the microwave, too, if we could just figure out how. I bet. I'll work on that for next time and let you know.
Okay. We also have Elaine from Baltimore asking us about the blossoms from zucchini plants.
Yes, delicious. Okay, I had an article in the Times a couple of weeks ago where I took burrata, which is basically like mozzarella cheese, except more flavorful and gooey and runny because it has cream layered into it. But you could use mozzarella. I took the zucchini flowers and I added tapenade, or you could just add olives and cheese, and I didn't fry them. That's all I did. I put a little olive oil, a little salt on top, and I ate them raw. Zucchini flowers are fantastic raw. Use them in salads. Use them in sandwiches. Use them on in pastas. They're great, raw or cooked. I've done it both ways. Oh, have you ever done a raw pasta, a raw sauce with raw tomatoes and cubes of mozzarella cheese, olives? That, and of course, tons of fresh herbs. Use raw zucchini flowers in that. It is stunningly beautiful, and it tastes great.
Let's take another call. This one is from, Nivesita? Am I pronouncing your name wrong?
No, you're Nivedita from Hillsborough.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
I love your articles.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just headed out for a weekend to Mystic, and I have this little kitchenette room booked for a family of four with two kids. What would be the basic things that you think I should carry with me? I mean, I have a fully loaded pantry because I'm an obsessive food blogger.
Good for you. I love to hear that. Well, okay, so you have to make sure you have the things that your family loves. So, you know, you need your olive oil, your lemons, your salt, like we talked about, your good pepper. But do you like chilies? If there's a chili paste, or if you're going to buy fresh chilies, I would say do that. You know what I love to bring with me when I do a house rental, or actually we borrow houses whenever we can get away with it? Sausages. If you like...
Oh, okay. I'm vegetarian, so...
Okay. So then let's talk condiments. You want as varied a number of condiments as possible to keep everything, all your meals, interesting. So you've got the basics. Then what would I bring? I would bring pickles, actually. I would definitely bring pickles. I love mango pickles, you know, really spicy pickles, something like that you can add.
Okay.
I would bring capers.
Okay.
And olives.
All right.
And what else would I bring? Good cheese. Do you eat cheese or are you?
Yes.
So I would also make sure, of course, to bring your Parmesan, all of these things, and I would bring a creamy good mozzarella. Can you tell that I love mozzarella?
Wonderful.
Yogurt.
Yes, I love it.
Yogurt for sure. Yogurt you can use for dressings. You can make it into a soup. You can use it as a marinade.
For
tofu, it's great. If you've ever done a tofu yogurt marinade, you add a lot of really intense spices, and then you let it sit. That is a great thing to do.
What else would I
bring?
Thank you for calling us.
Let me know how it ended up going. You can email me through my website because I would love to hear how it went. I'm obsessed with the idea of cooking in someone else's kitchen. What do you bring with you?
Frank in Lindenhurst writes, in the winter, I bake bread almost every day. I miss it. What do I do in the summer to satisfy my doughy, grainy cravings? And I want to further that. I associate fruit pies with summer. Well, how do you do that?
You know, that's really funny because it's been such a hot summer. I'm with you. I do pies every summer. And I realize that we're already practically in August and I have not baked one pie this whole summer, which is ridiculous.
It's been the hottest summer in history.
It's really been hot. So this weekend I'm going to bite the bullet and I have a 3.5-year-old. I promised her pie. So we're just going to sweat. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get big glasses of ice water and she and I are going to make the dough. And when while it's baking, we're going to go sit in the bedroom with the air conditioning on until it's finished. But the bread question is important. I agree with that. You really, that's something which you just can't do every day. You can't bake bread so often in the summer. It's too hot. What I would do is flatbreads. I would do, here's a great recipe for you. Make a paratha, which is an Indian flatbread, and you... gosh, I have a recipe in my book, but I don't have it on my website. But they're easy to find. If you Google it, I'm sure you can find a recipe for paratha. It's a layered bread with whole wheat flour, and you bake it on your skillet. It's a stovetop bread, and that will give you the same satisfaction of homemade bread. And what's great about this recipe is you can make the dough, put it in the fridge, and just cut off pieces as you want to cook it.
It's like pizza dough.
Yes, exactly. And that is a great thing to have in your fridge, and then you just fry it as you need it. And it's so buttery. You can use olive oil, but I like to use butter with it, and it just makes it very satisfying.
Greg from Harrison, New York. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Good. I actually have 2 points. One to pick up on your current conversation of bread. My girlfriend has actually been grilling bread.
Oh,
outside.
Good idea.
Yeah, and she's getting ready to do this big camping trip out in Pennsylvania, and she's been practicing ways to make biscuits and stuff like that grill. So she's been doing a little bit of that.
Does she put it right on the grill, or does she put a baking sheet on the grill and put it on top of the baking sheet?
What she's been doing is that she actually puts, we have a small gas grill
mm-hmm.
that allows us to control the heat a little better, and she puts a terracotta saucer down.
I see.
So that way that the baking sheet never comes in direct contact with the flame.
Yep.
You don't burn the bottom.
Yep.
And then she puts, you know, like a small cake tin.
Yep.
With the biscuits or whatever she's baking.
And then does it over indirect heat and covers the grill.
Exactly.
That's brilliant. That is such a good idea. I'm going to write about that. Thank you. Thank you for that. All of you listeners, I'm going to go try that immediately. I wonder if I could do a pie that way.
Mm. I mean, she's what did she make the other day? She made some dessert the other day. It's escaping me. But,
well, if you're a baker and you have a grill, you got to figure out ways to do it.
Yeah, that's great. Indirect heat will do it. You can, because you really can control your grill as if it were an oven, especially if you have a gas grill. It makes it very easy to control.
You wanted to talk about something else, Greg?
The original reason I called in was cold soups.
Mm.
We actually made an avocado soup the other night.
Oh, that sounds great. How'd you do it?
It's one avocado,
mm-hmm.
a cup of coconut milk,
and
2/3 of a cup of water. Put that into a blender and blend it until it's a smooth puree.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just put that into your bowls to eat out of.
Mm-hmm.
And you top it with fresh chopped onions, fresh chopped red peppers,
oh,
and pumpkin
seeds. So it's almost like a sweet avocado gazpacho. You know, have those kind of chunky garnishes. That is a great. Did you put any lime or lemon or any acid? I'm a freak for acid. Or you just left
especially with avocado.
Yeah, right.
Guacamole, it doesn't taste as good with that lime.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think so. We actually skipped any of the citrus.
Wow. Okay.
Inclusion. So it's It was intended to be a very sweet soup to begin with. So hence the coconut milk usage.
Well, thank you for calling us.
That is a great idea. I'm going to try that. Thank you.
Along the lines of this discussion on gazpachos, Jerry in Manhattan writes, I love gazpacho, but how do you skin tomatoes?
I don't. I just throw them all. Okay, I'll tell you how to do it, and then I'll tell you that I don't do it because I don't mind tomato skins, and I just let my blender, it just keeps, I really let it blend for a long time. I mean, a good 3 minutes to get it smooth. And then
A
lot of vitamins in the skin. But if you want to know how to do it, I'll tell you. You have to turn your stove on. You bring a big pot of water to a boil. You have an ice bath, which is just ice water, you know, in a bowl right next to your stove. Take a slotted spoon, dunk your tomato in. Oh, you first cut an X in the bottom of the tomato with a paring knife. Dunk your tomato in for about 10 seconds. Well, maybe for a small tomato, 10 seconds. A big tomato, maybe 20 seconds. You'll see it. The skin will start to curl where you cut it, and then just plop it in the ice water and peel it off. The peel will slip right off. I actually have a Times video coming up next week or maybe the week after, I forget, where I demonstrate how to peel tomatoes.
Now, we have no time left, but somebody wants to know about a substitute for cilantro because she's one of those people.
You're a cilantro hater.
Tastes like soap.
Yeah, chives or basil, either one of those will work great.
So that's it.
Yeah.
And you can find some recipes from Melissa Clark on our show page at WNYC.org. You can find a lot of them in her book, Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes You Can't Wait to Make. It's published by Hyperion. Of course, you can find what she's thinking about every week in her column in the New York Times on Wednesday called A Good Appetite. And Melissa, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming by today.
Thanks.